Hello, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good night. Robin Williams. Today's episode is a good one. We wound up rabbit holing away from the Halloween episode a couple of episodes back, and we saved this information. It's one of those four Celtic festivals. But the good news is,
Jesse, he got that new mic in him. He got it working, so we got
good audio quality. Everything's level.
All the volumes are the same, but
his voice is still a little different, because we realized after
that Jesse had the microphone facing directly towards him, the top of it, and it was supposed to be the front. So,
you know, it works a little with the lows.
And I'm nitpicking here, but if you notice, that's what it is. So next episode, it's going to be even better. But we're really excited for this episode. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
I hope you enjoyed it. Hit us up on social media. You can email us. That's the best thing. Illuminati@gmail.com. You know, Twitter, Instagram, if you want updates, we don't really post that much. So thanks for tuning in. I love this episode. We're going to be doing another
one real quick turnaround. Because of the end, we ran out of time, so we're gonna
pick up
at the end with the next episode.
So again, I love you
all. Yes, you love you all. Thank you. Get into this episode.
There it is.
Hey.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to today's episode of the Illuminati Squatty Potty Podcast. Joining me is my wonderful host/co-host, Jesse. Or also known as the Kettlebell Killer.
Kettlebell Killer.
How did it go last night? I missed it.
You missed it on purpose because you just didn't want to do that workout, right?
Shit. Actually, no, I didn't want to do the workouts.
It was, the workout was pretty brutal. The stream went all right. I took a week off, so I think that affected the viewers and then some of the regular people that normally get on the stream were streaming themselves at that time last night, so. But it was all good. Had a good time. It was about an hour long stream. You can catch it every Tuesday at around 7 Central Time. So.
What was your workout?
I guess you have to tune in to really get the theme of it, but I did an upper meat sack torture session.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Just ridiculous.
Oh, that's very Golgothan.
It is. I'm in character the whole time.
What was that workout again? Upper
gut? It was actually a really hard, I say hard workout, but it was just it was basically I did an upper body workout where, so I had like 4 chest exercises in a row with the kettlebell. You do them 35 seconds a piece with like 15 seconds rest. You do that three times through, and then I move to back, and then I move to like biceps, triceps, and shoulders. But like, you know, doing that and like staying in character the whole time and like drinking beer while you do it, it's actually pretty fucking exhausting. Like it wore me out. And then I did a whole another 30 minutes of legs after, you know, doing that with the upper body. So I did the same structure but with legs. What it's basically like little 10-minute blocks that I did in a row.
What do you call your leg workout?
I mean, I didn't really call it anything. I just say, hey, we're gonna be in the kettlebell killer voice. I say, hey, we're gonna be doing a lower meat sack torture ritual now, and then we I call them. I just say the most ridiculous shit that comes to mind.
I love it.
So you'd have to tune in, but if you actually try to follow along with the workouts, they are challenging.
Yeah, you've been working out for a while, man.
Yeah, I just sweat every day a little bit. I wouldn't say I'm like doing anything too crazy, but yeah.
You've been known to. You got a reputation around these parts, Jesse.
I wouldn't know why.
So let's get into today's topic, Jesse.
Let's do it. You're the expert on today's topic, so I'll let you dive in. And
today I get to wear the expert hat.
Yeah,
we got to get a hat that the expert wears.
You get to wear it every episode.
I don't have a hat with me, but we're going to be talking about first. It starts with one of the four Celtic festivals called Beltane. which on our Halloween episode, if you go back and listen to that, we talk about briefly, because Halloween is also one of the four Celtic festivals. Samhain, is that how you say it, Jesse?
Samhain.
Okay. So Beltane is one of those four. The other two is Imbolc, which is on February 1st, marked the beginning of spring. It's halfway between the equinoxes, which is cool. I'm really inclined to start learning the precession of the earth and where we're at and the stars and the equinoxes and what the fuck all that is.
Well, you might as well. I mean, you've already started to do a lot of rabbit holing down that path.
I bet
hours and hours of Randall Carson lectures and studying all of that. So yeah. Why not?
Our ancient ancestors would probably be surprised that anybody in the future would ever even utter those words. I need to get familiar with the stars and shit, bro. I mean, that was their whole religion, culture.
Now you can go your whole life not even looking up.
Oh, that was deep. That's going to be the title of this episode.
That's so stupid.
So, and the other one is Lugnasad.
Yeah, I didn't know how to say that. Lugnasad.
But Imbolc is between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. Lugnasad is on August 1st, halfway between summer solstice and the autumn equinox. They had ritual athletics in that one. Not a lot to talk about there. They sacrificed the bull.
Is that all they sacrificed? Because I saw they did make sacrifices to the god of Baal.
Maybe that's what that's about, because god of Baal is like represented by a bull or something. Hey, we should do an episode and find out. I'm sure there's a lot. Yeah,
now, now there's a whole new...
Let me stop screen sharing.
Yeah, no, there's a whole new... festival that they have that's like a modern like fire society festival that's associated with Beltane, and it kind of commemorates the start of summer, and they would basically take their livestock out to pasture, because I think the way they did, you know, agriculture back then was a little different with the way they basically have winter pastures and summer pastures, so it marked that time of the year. So I was wondering, like, did you find some cosmic relation? You know how with Samhain, you know, we talked about, you know, its association with the cosmos and a comet passing at that time, bringing the souls of the dead back to Earth. If you, I don't know if you remember that episode. Did you find any type of cosmic connection there with the Beltane festival, since it's one of those four holidays that mark the quarters of the year?
Yeah, that's interesting, because Halloween was allegedly marked by the Taurid meteor stream, the Pleiades,
right?
And the same for Beltane. It would have to be, I would say, the sign and astrological point I came up with in my research with a capital R was Leo.
It was Leo?
Yeah, and that's kind of when we get into Katy Perry. But I'll save that. We're at Beltane right now.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't expect to get into Katy Perry, because we were researching for the Halloween one, and I went off on this route. I spent a whole day, and I got this. I had to start again. Then I had to take another day off and do what I didn't do on that day, because I found this.
We'll go into what you got, so...
But so, yeah, Beltane, it's the Gaelic May Day festival. Did you find that? What did you find? You give me what you found.
Well, I found, you know, the whole Beltane Fire Society website, and they give you like a history of Beltane, and it talks about the Celtic people of Europe. Basically marking the changing patterns of the seasons. You know, Beltane means bright fire. It was celebrated in Ireland, Scotland, the Isle of Man, and as the starting point of summer. It was a celebration of the time of light and growth to come. It was associated with a variety of practices, from a display of fresh greenery to the baking of Beltane bannocks. So, you know, it was basically a celebration to mark the start of summer and the coming of, like, new life with that time.
Mm-hmm.
It roughly translated, like I said, to bright fire, which I thought was kind of interesting there. I didn't know if there was any cosmological significance with that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because it's another fire reference.
Right.
I didn't find anything.
You know, it's an ancient tradition, and we keep finding all these ancient traditions that honor the cosmos, so I didn't know if there was association with that there.
My first thought...
I looked, and I couldn't find anything. That's why I was asking you. I'm like, because I know you did some rabbit holing on this.
I didn't ever see anything like that. My first thought is it's the mark of summer where the sun comes out.
Right.
So, and my next thought was butane. I wonder if that's where we get that word, a bright light.
Butane?
Yeah, Beltane, a bright light. If it's like a serious dude.
I don't know. I don't know the etymology of the word butane. Could do an episode on that one day, but I don't know that we would get back to Beltane with that.
Yeah, okay, that's good. But Gaelic May Day Festival, it's May Day. I thought it was May Day, it's the May Day Festival. In 1880...
1st of May.
Yeah, I guess so. So May Day, in 1889, the communists and socialists of the Second International selected May 1st as the date for their International Workers' Day. And this is what I found contemporarily with this. In order to commemorate the Haymarket affair or the incident or the riot, because it was like there was a labor protest. Somebody threw a bomb at police. 8 people died in the act. I don't know if they died from the bomb, but that day 8 people died. The bomb happened, and May Day was to commemorate that day.
Oh, shit. I did not, you know.
Yeah,
that
happened in 1884, so 1889. But my next thought, of course, is they're covering up this ancient holiday, because Halloween, I say cover it up. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's my first thought, is they're, you know, these communists, the people that want to take over and censor everything along the way, that Pope, British rule.
How are they covering it up?
By making May Day a new thing, and you know, they demonize the old god to bring in the new when you conquer something. The same thing, just like reteaching culture. This is my theory. Reteaching culture that this day commemorates this act. And now people don't ever find out about the real far back truth on that day. They're distracted.
Yeah, I get that. But
if you want to divert.
There is now a modern Beltane festival. Kind of references, but I mean, it's not like, it's actually a pretty small affair.
Yeah.
Not like a well-known thing.
It's kind of weird.
It's a fire festival.
My theory is probably bullshit, but that's just my first thought when I see that.
I'm not saying your theory's bullshit. I didn't go that deep, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Oh, all good. All good.
Yeah, my bad.
No, I'm just playing around because I like that. My first thought is that they're covering up this holiday. And then my next thought is that's probably bullshit, but and it probably so, cause I didn't know they had a modern Beltane festival.
Yeah. That's the first, like that's whenever, you know, you wanted to do an episode on this or talk about, have it be a part of the episode. When I was looking into it, I came across this, Beltane Fire Society website, and I was like, oh, what is this? And I kind of read into it, and that's where I found there's actually like a modern festival that like you kind of like donate to and shit. And but anyway,
interesting.
Yeah, it's
should go 1 year and we should vlog it for the Illuminati Squatty Potty Instagram.
Here you go. This is the website.
Okay. That's a beautiful artwork and logo. Detailed history of Beltane.
I mean, I don't know how legit this is, but this is like the modern, the people who host the modern festival, or Beltane Festival.
Hmm. Where is it at? I guess in Ireland, right? Or Scotland or something.
The modern one is now hosted in...
Look at their logo. Go back to the top and look at that logo.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some symbology there.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you look up photos of the... Check this out. It's like a pretty wild Calton Hill in Scotland.
Bunch of sparklers and fire torches.
This is it.
Holy
May Day.
Crap.
See, you're talking about May Day.
Yeah. Well, they're like dressed up as like a naked tribe with big torches.
This is what goes down at the Beltane Fire Festival.
It looks like Portland's BLM protests. Just joking.
He said it, folks, not me. Anyway, no, that's what I had found. It's the first thing I'd come across. So, you could be right. There could be some type of, cover up going on there.
Hey, maybe they tried.
Since I guess May Day is more of a known day than the Beltane Fire Festival or Beltane.
Well, this is where it starts to get interesting.
Are any of those four traditional holidays that were always celebrated by ancient peoples around the world?
In between the equinox and the following solstice, or the solstice and the following, it's like in between. Why in between? Maybe because they like Triple H, because there's the solstice, like he points at his right leg and he's like, here's the solstice, here's the equinox, and we're gonna celebrate between the holidays. Remember when he did that in the ring? That's what
so stupid. No, I mean, maybe it was just to mark that moment in time for agricultural importance of the year.
Well, the earliest
the cosmos to mark that
celebration, the earliest was of May Day was during the Roman Republic era. It was the festival of Flora, who's the Roman goddess of flowers. It was April 27th to May 3rd. And also the festival of Maiuma, capital M-A-I-U-M-A. They held that every 3 years during the month of May, celebrating Dionysus and Aphrodite.
Okay, so that was what else you wanted to get into is Aphrodite and Dionysus, right?
Yeah, that's what piqued me at first, and that's when I really went with it, because here I am looking into Halloween, and all of a sudden, just looking into this communist May Day, it connects right back to these myths again. It's like everything major in culture all along the way connects back to these same ancient Mesopotamian myths.
Yeah, these Greek myths.
Yeah,
that all relate back to these ancient, you know, Canaanite gods and goddesses.
Yeah,
Greece pulled from.
Yeah, so Maiuma, M-A-I-U-M-A, 3 years, every 3 years during the month of May, Dionysus and Aphrodite, Aphrodite. So I was thinking, is this where Afro comes from? Does it have any connection? And if you grew hair on your pectoral muscles, on your pecs, would that be called an Aphrodite?
I guess I have Afro titties because I definitely have hair on my pecs.
Afro titties. So
the next, you can check out the Kettlebell Killer workout and check out my Afro titties at any time you want.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, sign me up. Take my Patreon money now. So this festival held at Maiuma, held every 3 years, celebrating Dionysus and Aphrodite.
This still goes on today?
In some form. We'll get there. We'll get there. In some form. it's like the dates change because it evolves, and it's kind of confusing. But like there's like an earlier Roman version of the later Greek festival, and they put them like a month apart, but it's the same.
Is it the other way around? Is it like
yeah, Greek to Roman.
Greek to Roman.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
It's weird. So it opened with a theatrical performance where goats and hares were released. Goats and hares, that's symbolic. Well, that'll come up. Just remember goats and hares.
All right. I'm remembering goats and hares.
Yeah. H-A-R-E. Like, yeah, like rabbits. Not hair on the, not Afro titty hair. And the celebration normally concluded with the sacrifice to Flora. Mayuma was a nocturnal dramatic festival held every 3 years known as orgies, which is a wild part with excessive drinking and sex. It's a reputation for licentiousness, which is, if our listeners are anything like me, they don't know a lot of stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm a lot like you because I don't shit.
You don't know what licentiousness means?
No.
Okay, it's promiscuous and unprincipled in sexual matters.
All right, so, and this was was this a Roman festival, you said?
This was the later Roman, the earliest celebration of May Day was during the, earliest known celebration of May Day is during the Roman Republic era. So, yeah.
Yeah, so they had kind of a strict culture.
Strict culture. Yeah, exactly. Because right here, you nailed it. Emperor Constantine suppresses it. And he reigned from 272 to 337 AD. So it's in this time frame. So they had orgies because it was filled with licentiousness. Emperor Constantine suppressed it. A less licentious version was restored during the reign of Arcadius and Honorius, but was suppressed again shortly after. It was called Mayumus because it celebrated the month of May dash Artemisios. Artemisios. May dash Artemisios. Yeah, so that's Beltane. So now let's break down.
So that's where Beltane goes all the way back to.
Yeah.
Because that's basically the same time frame that Beltane is celebrated by the Celtic tribes. Back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Which came after the Romans.
Yeah.
And they continued today in Scotland.
Wait. The Celtic tribe came way before. I think they are super ancient. This is some of the oldest stuff.
Okay.
Because the Celts, remember in the Halloween episode, the Celts, the Galatians, were evolving into Greece.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were before.
Got you. So Mayuma, or what was the name of that festival again?
Mayuma, M-A-I-U-M-A. So I think this is a reconstituting of an ancient tradition, just like Greek did. They took ancient stuff and renamed it and reshaped it, because that's what, like we learned in that occultic history episode.
That's what Romans did, and that's what...
When you conquer a culture, you demonize their god and replace it with a new one. But it's the same dynamic and you use it against them. So the same dynamic keeps happening where they take what's already there and they change it. I'm sure some people would want to argue that, but that is the pattern that happens. So to break that down more and keep going, let's look at Dionysus and Aphrodite. So in Greek religion, Dionysus is the god of winemaking, wine, grape harvest, fertility, orchards and fruit, vegetation, insanity, ritual madness, religious ecstasy, festivity, and theater. His Roman name is Bacchus, and also Liber, which means free. So his symbol was a thistrus. A thistrus. Let me screen share. I have pictures to go with this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm like a Greek. I have the statue if you want to see
that. Oh, you got some stuff. So that's Aphrodite.
Mm-hmm.
Holding her titty. Seriously, she's holding her titty.
Yeah.
And that's Astarte.
That's her earlier iteration of Aphrodite that the Greeks borrowed from. I think this was at the earliest an ancient Mesopotamian cult god. I think it starts with an I, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember
the
Inan.
Ishtar, Inan. Yeah, so let me get, I actually have that too. Dionysus is, that's his Thisris right here. Thisris. It's a wand with a pine cone at the tip. You know, the pine cone represents the pineal gland.
Yeah,
that weird symbology on the Catholic Church and all that. Mm-hmm. So, wound with ivy and dripping with honey. This is interesting. His Thisris, a wand or staff, a giant fennel topped with a pine cone, was both a wand used for beneficial purposes or a weapon used to destroy anyone who opposed his cult and the freedoms that he represents. That's really weird because his name was, he was known as, or his title was Eleutherios, capital Eleutherios, meaning the liberator. His dance, wine, and music freed participants from self-conscious fears from the oppressive power of the government rule. But his wand destroys anyone who opposes his cult. So he, in effect, is like a brainwasher, right?
Right.
People go to him to be freed from oppressive rule and then find themselves in oppressive rule if you go against what he's about. That's very weird. That was just a really kind of twisted dynamic blended into the fabric of his character. His Egyptian equivalent is Osiris.
Dionysus, Egyptian equivalent?
Yeah.
Is Osiris?
Yeah,
we're going to get to that here in a little bit again, too.
Yeah, so associated with love, passion, beauty, pleasure, procreation. Oh, this is Aphrodite. She was associated with love, passion, beauty, pleasure, procreation. She was unfaithful to her husband Hephaestus, and in the Iliad was caught with Ares, the god of war. The cult of Aphrodite was mostly derived from Astarte. This is what you were talking about, the Phoenician goddess of sex, fertility, and war. Aphrodite's main symbols are myrtles, roses, doves, sparrows, and swans. Astarte's symbols include the lion, horse, sphinx, dove, and a star within a circle. So the Katy Perry stuff later is actually really accurate to Astarte, the more original one, which to me is even more shocking that they went that deep.
Well, and then we'll get to that, but she actually says Aphrodite in the lyric.
Yeah. Make me your Aphrodite. That's weird. So she goes back to the Canaanites, Astarte, like you said. According to them, she is the Assyrian Babylonian god of Ishtar, which we get our holiday Easter. And that was taken from Inanna. That started with the I. The third millennium BC Sumerian goddess. Inanna was the first goddess of Venus, also known as the morning star. Astarte was a morning star. Venus was a morning star. Lucifer, represented by Venus, was known as the morning star, evening star. And that symbology is also the star in a circle, which is Astarte. So Azerbaijan, that country that there's a lot of weird stuff going on with in our country, their logo is a star within a circle. Just random. So, Inanna, is that who I'm talking about? Yeah, Inanna, her symbols were the lion, the horse, the sphinx, the dove, and the star within a circle. She's considered the evening star. So Katy Perry in her song Dark Horse, she's Leo the lion. There's a lot of symbology in that.
A lot of symbology.
So July 22nd to August 22nd is the same time frame as Aphrodisia and Cronia, which are two festivals that we get into here, because her main festival was the festival was of Aphrodisia. Inanna's main festival.
Yeah. And that's where the term aphrodisiac came from.
Yeah. You knew that before? I didn't know that when I read this. I was like, whoa.
Well, I assumed it after reading that.
Between the third week of July and third week of August, most importantly in Attica, but textual sources make it clear she was celebrated in Corinth and Athens, where prostitutes would celebrate, as she was their goddess of prostitution, implying prostitution was a more revered role way back in the day. She was largely across Cyprus in towns like Cythera, Sparta, Thebes, Delos, and Elis. Her most ancient temple was Paphos, of which was purified with the blood of a dove as the first ritual of the festival Aphrodisia. The dove is the sacred bird of Aphrodite. Is it Didi or Didi or Diddy?
I think it's Aphrodite.
Dude, P. Diddy, if he has an afro, he doesn't even know he's Afro Diddy. There's so much symbology in pop culture, it's unreal.
I don't know if that's intentional with P. Diddy. I don't disagree with you, but I don't know if you're hitting the mark there, buddy.
Okay, maybe not.
Try.
So it's a sacred bird of Aphrodite, is the dove. What did you say? Do you think it was Didi? Didi?
You done made me forget Aphrodite.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds better. Sorry, everybody. I've been saying Didi for so Aphrodite. So worshippers.
Aphrodite.
Aphrodite Didi?
Yeah.
Worshippers would then carry pictures of her to be washed, as well as Pytho, who is a companion of Aphrodite and the goddess of persuasion and seduction. So they're like the team at the bar that lures you in, and you wake up the next day with your pants unbuttoned and your dick's gone. Or your kidney is gone. You're in a bathtub filled with ice. Your kidney, your phone, and your necklace are gone. And your shoes, they fucked you. They totally screwed you.
Just naked.
Yeah.
Bathtub full of ice. No kidneys.
In Cyprus, participants being initiated into the mysteries of Aphrodite was given salt that represented the foam of the ocean of which she was born, and baked bread in the shape of a phallus. Remember that later when we get to the hot Katy Perry pictures.
Wasn't she born from Kronos cut the balls off of Uranus, and his balls fell into the ocean, and from the foam of that.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Yeah. Dude, can you imagine if that's actually a real story? Like, if you can take these stories.
That was a very dumbed down, stupid version of it, but yeah.
But if that really happened.
Yeah.
Cut your balls off and they land in the ocean, and then a person comes out.
Person.
Oof. Oof. Oh.
Wild.
So there are two. Wait. Bloody sacrifices were not allowed other than the dove's blood that purified the temple, but a goat was sacrificed still. I assume by strangulating it or fire, I don't know how they sacrificed the goat if the dove was the only blood they could get in the temple. I'm thinking like the Cahokia Indian internment ceremonies where they strangled them, if there's some kind of connection and why you don't do blood sometimes. Remember that, where they hop up on nicotine and just strangle everybody and put them in the burial mound?
Do I remember that?
From that episode, one of our other episodes.
I don't remember us talking about that.
Yeah, the burial mounds.
I remember talking about burial mounds. I don't remember us talking about the methods in which... What the fuck did I just do?
Oh, I went off on a tangent on that episode. I'm going to stop sharing so you don't look at your face. I went off on a tangent on that episode because I found some stuff about the Cahokia Indians. And the burial mounds, you asked me the question on the show, are burial mounds death ceremonies or something? And they are, because when an important figure would die, they would bury him in a mound. But when they would do that, they would bury his family and close members. And
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, when yeah, they would have the ceremony, they would hop up on nicotine and they would strangle them.
They'd bury like the kids and the wife and shit.
Yeah. And I just don't.
They strangled them. Okay, I see.
Yeah, but this goat, you can't the goat was sacrificed for aphrodisia, but I'm wondering if they strangled it like the Cahokia Indians, if this is another manifestation of the amalgamation of ancient traditions through the Greek culture. If maybe they strangled the goat.
I'm sure it is, because a lot of Greek culture is that. More refined, and they made more refined myths about it.
Mm-hmm. How do you think they sacrificed this goat?
Maybe they burned it? I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so. That's what I was burning or burn it.
Well, I guess that's kind of horrific.
It is.
I mean, either way. But, you're trying not to get blood.
I would strangle it. I would put it on a dunking booth and I would let people throw the hardball at its head. And then when it died, the person who killed it would get get the sheep.
Maybe they fed it poison.
Get the goat. Hey, maybe so. That would be a very boring ritual, man. That would be so boring being a kid. Being a kid in Greek, and it's like, yeah, we get to watch the goat get sacrificed tonight at the Aphrodisia Festival. And it's just this boring hour and a half ceremony of a goat falling asleep. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, they're trying to be humane while they do the sacrifice. No, I doubt it. They probably strangled it. I don't know. I did not look into that, so I'm totally guessing.
Me neither. I didn't get that deep. So there are two depictions of Aphrodite. There's Aphrodite's Urania, which represents a higher spiritual love, and Aphrodite's Pandemos, which represents the physical or non-spiritual. This one translates as common to all the people. She united all the people. Who was it? Theseus. Her worship in Athens, her worship was attributed to Theseus, who is considered to have founded the shrine of Aphrodite and Pytho in Agora, which he made to show thanks to the goddess Aphrodite for uniting the scattered tribes of Attica into one political and social body of Athenians.
Hmm.
So Aphrodite, according to Theseus, is like the cornerstone of why Athens became Athens. There were scattered tribes.
She brought them together.
Which makes me wonder, is Aphrodite a real person? Because these Greek gods and such like this, you know, they're just mythical figures, allegories, things that represent things. But according to this Theseus guy, she...
Yeah, you know, it could just be a thing like a Hollywood version of a true story that actually happened, where someone worked to bring the tribes of Athens together to make it the power that it became.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe it's both, like a mixture of both.
Yeah.
So, preparations. Let me make sure I'm not missing any pictures while I'm going along here. We're going to get to Kronos too, Jesse. I'm glad you brought him up. So preparations for the festival of Aphrodisia included sacrifices of doves to purify the temple, which I already said, washing the statues, coating the temple roof in pitch, a tar-like substance, and acquiring purple cloth. I guess they would wear it and decorate it and shit like that. Aphrodisia in modern times. Okay, here we go, Jesse. You ready? Are you holding on to your pantsuit? Your pantsuit?
Yes.
Aphrodisia in modern times is celebrated late in July and in August, the same time Kronia is celebrated, which is the earlier Greek equivalent of the Roman celebration of Saturnalia in December.
which started like December 17th through December 24th.
Yep, I got 23, but that's close enough, right?
Yeah, it was December 23, but then eventually it was seven days, so.
Yeah. I want to read that sentence again because there's a lot of dynamics in that, and I get confused.
Sure.
And I, there might be someone out there that wants to hear that again. So Aphrodisia in modern times is celebrated late in July and in August, the same time Chronia is celebrated. Chronia is the earlier Greek equivalent of the Roman celebration of Saturnalia. So I would guess that Aphrodisia and Saturnalia are happening at the same time frame.
Saturnalia was a
Chronia. It confuses me, but those are all connected in that way.
Chronia came first as the Greek celebration in that time frame. Then Saturnalia came as the Roman celebration.
And but
that celebration started in the month of December, around December 17th.
Yeah, Aphrodisia and Chronia are at the same time. So I guess Aphrodisia is modern and Chronia is earlier Greek. Okay, so earlier it starts with the earlier Greek is Chronia. And in modern times, the same time frame, late July, August, is Aphrodisia. And Chronia got moved to December as Saturnalia, I guess, or something. Something like that. Aphrodisia in modern times is celebrated late in July and in August, which is the same time Chronia is celebrated. Chronia is the earlier Greek equivalent of the Roman celebration of Saturnalia in December.
Oh, so I guess the festival is celebrated similarly. Where, you know, they celebrate similar traditions and customs. Pot, maybe that's what that means. Right.
So oh man, that's confusing. Say that again.
Maybe Saturnalia, which is I guess the later Roman festival celebrated in December, was the Roman equivalent of Chronia, right? The earlier Greek one that celebrated in late July.
Yes, yeah, so
August.
So Chronia happened in the Greek tradition, July, August, and then transformed into Saturnalia later and moved into December.
Right. What I'm saying is maybe the celebration, like the way they celebrated that festival, was similar.
Yeah, right? that's what I'm trying to wonder. Is Chronia the same as Saturnalia, or is Chronia the same as Aphrodisia, or are Aphrodisia and Saturnalia like half and half Chronia? Like, why are these three at play with each other? I think Chronia is more like Saturnalia, actually, because Chronia is Kronos, and he is the god of Saturn. So I think those are more connected.
Yeah, well, they're saying they're connected. Yes.
All right. So the white male goat is a continuous symbol of Aphrodite's pandemos, often depicted as riding a white male goat, which was known as a carnal symbol of sex and physical pleasure. So the goat is a carnal symbol of sex and physical pleasure, and the rabbit is a symbol of fertility. So both of these festivals, I guess, Saturnalia, the white male goat. No. Maybe the white male goat is Aphrodisia. But either way, whenever you see a white male goat and a rabbit, they talk about fucking. That's what they talk about. They're trying to get everyone fucking so then they can control them after and let them know they're bad. You're a bad population. So now we get into Kronos, okay? Because Aphrodite was born off the coast of Cythera from Uranus's genitals that were severed by his son Kronos. See pictures 4 and 5. Here's the part where I screen share and I show you pictures 4 and 5. There's Kronos. Man, he's ripped. I bet he fucks like a champ.
Titan of the harvest.
Look at those pecs, man. Like, that's a Sith. So, yeah. Krone, do you have any information you'd like to share? Because I'm just rolling. I don't want to drown you out, bro.
No, you're good, man. You're well versed on this stuff. I mean, he was the, like, as you said, he was the son of Uranus. He was the god of time, which was described as destructive and all-devouring force. With the help of his brothers, he was able to dispose of his father and rule the cosmos, ruling during the mythological golden age.
Yeah, back when people were perfect or something.
Right.
And, Titans. His sons were called Titans, or Titans, meaning straining ones.
He was a Titan.
Yeah, but he rounded up his sons to get revenge on Kronos for cutting off his balls.
Who, Uranus, you're saying?
Yeah, after throwing the genitals into the ocean, a white foam arose, and out of the foam was born Aphrodite. Uranus threatened vengeance and called his sons Titans, meaning straining ones, or Titans. So his sons basically were like, fuck that, dad, we got your back. And Kronos was like, what? Come and get it. He was like Nick Diaz. What? So the sickle, to me, looks like Saturn's rings, of which Kronos was recognized in classical antiquity as the Roman deity of Saturn.
So, yeah, and
I have a picture here. I have a picture, so I'm not even bullshitting. Like, here's a picture. I mean, that somebody drew the picture, but that's what a sickle looks like. Do you see that?
Yeah, I see it. I'm looking at it.
Sorry, I cut you off. What were you saying right there?
No. I'm saying, so, yeah, and you were kind of implying, I think, where some of this was going is that there's a lot of weird worship of Saturn in general. And there's a lot of new weird conspiracy theories that are associated with Saturn. And it looks like, you know, all that stuff goes all the way back to Greek times. Well, ancient stuff back in the day. So,
and that,
I just thought that was interesting.
Greek times goes back even further, because that whole Greek era wasn't, they like, which gets into the Roman Church, and my whole conspiracy I always get back to is that this whole Greek Roman Church imperial model was all about covering up ancient truths.
Yeah, and the Greeks, you know, got a lot of this from those ancient Canaanite cultures.
Yeah. Yeah, and those ancient Canaanite cultures were speaking more of truth, so to speak, because the Catholic Church used it as power, religious power. And they didn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't about enlightenment or being one with the fundamental properties of the universe, about sacred geometry and allowing people to understand those things and be enlightened in those ways. So those, you know, the burning of Alexandria, the paganism, which was really just the practice of ancient Egyptian tradition that was made illegal in 33 AD by Herodotus or whatever his name was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like all the ancient stuff that was the real stuff back to the source of who we are, which gets into deeper truths. You know, we are taught that history started with the Greeks. That's who started science and everything. But archaeology and deeper studies of that shows that our ancient cultures were advanced too.
And yeah, 11,000 years ago, Göbekli Tepe.
As far as astrology goes, you know, maybe they didn't have cell phones, or maybe they didn't have radio waves, but that's not how you measure advancedness.
Right. They had advanced knowledge of the cosmos and
they were very smart people that knew how to build, and See, when you have a big megalithic structure like a pyramid, it's by default that was an advanced civilization because hunter-gatherers don't have the resources to dedicate to
it. Yeah.
Only a super advanced big civilization does. And it was, they still don't know how they built it today with today's technology. And it's all perfectly lined up to the stars at that time epoch when it was built. So it's like they're super, super advanced. So it's wrong to think that everything came from the Greeks when the Greeks were recycling what they had, were working on from the Egyptians.
Yeah.
Like they already knew we were spinning around in space for a long time, but we're taught that Galileo came up with that in the 1500s.
Yeah. I mean,
I think
so. And so the ultimate conspiracy is that during those Roman Christian ruling times, a lot of this stuff got censored out and watered down, and a lot of that knowledge was lost.
Yeah.
Then we eventually evolved our current modern base of knowledge from that Roman time.
Yeah, it's like a set up plan to teach this new society of Christians, which the Bible is based off of ancient texts where they cut out a lot of them and then reworded some stuff, and it's not complete. It's like a big secret plan. So you say that knowledge was lost, but I would take it further and say that it was kept secret and ultimately destroyed with things like the burning of Alexandria library. You know, they actively go out of their way to make sure we don't get the truth that comes from our ancient ancestors. Like, you know, what if they have the tablets of Thoth in their libraries? What's in the Vatican archives that's below in the basement? What are they, you know, there's so much that they're actively keeping away from us. And it's wild when you start to get to the truth and what the truth actually suggests. What the evidence actually suggests versus what they teach us through mainstream institutions our whole lives. It's like, whoa.
Well, maybe all of this won't matter here in a little bit since we are in communication with an intergalactic federation of aliens.
Yes, that article you sent me. What was up with that?
I don't know. I read that earlier today. I think it came out yesterday.
Israeli and, expert. What was the title of the article? Did you read the full article? Did you read it?
Yeah, I did.
What did it say? Because I didn't read it.
Let me see if I can find it again.
I'm gonna hit this weed while you cover a few minutes on that article.
So a former head of Israel's military space program claims that extraterrestrials have made contact with officials in the United States and Israel over the years, but the aliens won't come out in public because they worry people will freak out. In other words, they've done their homework. Humanity isn't ready, professor and retired Israeli general Haim Eshed said this week during an interview with the Hebrew language paper Yedioit Aharonot. I can't say that. Eshed told the paper that aliens are already among us on Earth and that several species have formed a galactic federation akin to the one seen in Star Trek, according to translations by the Jerusalem Post.
He also
suggested that the U.S. and Israel have been collaborating with aliens on space travel for years and that U.S. President Donald Trump was on the verge of revealing their existence. Eshed, 87, spoke to the paper while promoting his upcoming book, The Universe Beyond the Horizon. His claims are wide-ranging, earth-shaking, and unverified, but his credentials are hard to ignore. He previously served as a top official in Israel's military space program from 1981 until 2010 and was responsible for the country's OFEC satellite project. He did not provide specifics about Trump's supposed near slip, but the president did speak about the issue earlier this year. Trump claimed in June that he had heard very interesting things about Roswell, the New Mexico city known for an alleged UFO event in 1947. He said, I won't talk to you about what I know about it, but it's very interesting. So, anyway, and it goes on. about, you know, Trump kind of making claims like that in the past. But yeah, so that's pretty crazy, huh?
Wow. The news, man, like that is news you'd never thought you'd hear. Imagine back in the 70s, back when Roswell happened, people just wanting to know the truth, wanting to know the truth, wanting to know the truth. And they would have given anything for the government to come out on multiple occasions in the way that it's happened recently, from the videos from the Navy pilots, from the Pentagon disclosure, that article right there.
Yeah.
Disclosing this type of information, it is absolutely mind-blowing. It's wild. Like, I can't fully
process. A lot of this stuff is starting to come out now.
Dude, that is wild. Because the ultimate conspiracy I was getting at about the ancient truths and where we come from, that the Greek rule wanted to cover up, because if people know the truth about who they are, I think it would be naturally liberating to all people to know that we're not just random sacks of meat with no purpose floating around in space, gonna die one day, and we gotta listen to the politicians keep the economy in line and shit. It's like, no, we are genetically engineered from an alien species that came here eons ago, and we don't remember our past because along the way, huge cataclysms kept wiping us out. But we have things that are on this earth, like the pyramids and Göbekli Tepe and these big monuments, that it's like, it Göbekli Tepe literally is like a learning ground where information was, it was like a transfer of knowledge. There's no function to this place other than a big college, you know? And it's like, science knows our brain evolved over a million years. Like, they don't know how, though. They don't know what triggered it. They don't know why agriculture sprouted out of nowhere. And it's like, all the signs, what I was saying about what the evidence suggests, is that we were taught these things and we were created, because that's what every culture records, is a creation story. And what mainstream teaching is that all ancient cultures weren't connected because there was no global travel. Well, then why do they all have the same stories? Why do they all have this one unified religion? And why does it look like aliens created us and taught us everything and then left and said, we'll be back?
Yeah.
There's all kind of weird stuff. I'm even starting to think that the space station is fake and it's actually Nibiru has returned. And they don't want us to know, so they just call it a space station. And they get a pawn like Elon Musk to humanize space travel because, oh, look, this rich guy can start making space travel and put thousands of stuff, like it's all normal. But really, Nibiru, Planet X, is back. And the Anunnaki and the ancient alien race that created this is back. Because science came out, like NASA, and said that there's like this planet that's going to be passing by. And it's like Planet X. Yeah. And then people stop talking about it, you know? And the only problem with Planet X is they don't know where to look to find it.
Hmm.
That's why they haven't found it. Yeah. Anunnaki and Nibiru, it's likely, according to astrologers or astronomers today, it's likely that our sun is a sister star. It has a sibling star because the way it rotates and orbits in some way behaves as if it has a counterpart. And in ancient mythology, the Anunnaki came here on Planet X, landed on Earth in a Merkaba in what is known as Jerusalem, and then like taught everything to everybody and made humans to slave gold for them so that they could spray it in their atmosphere because their home planet was, or something, you know, it gets wild, but the idea is that the Anunnaki are coming from Planet X. So I think the space station is Planet X because they're fucking back, baby.
Is that from Zachariah Sitchin?
Probably. I haven't read his stuff, but I know that name, and he talks a lot about that. Yeah, I think that is his... Oh, the cuneiform tablets or something. Whether the Anunnaki came in on Planet X or not, and I don't actually think the space station is Planet X, but I do consider it. I'm curious. I'm open to it. I think there was an alien
species that came here a long time ago and genetically engineered us deep in the Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, that's plausible. I mean, we don't know for sure.
We about
so,
to.
Did you want to dive into the Katy Perry stuff tonight? Because I do kind of have a hard stop at like 7:30.
Okay, yeah, I'm almost done with this, and we can get into that. That's perfect. 25 more minutes.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so the sickle looks like Saturn's rings, of which Cronus was recognized in classical antiquity as the Roman deity of Saturn. Cronus had learned from his parents Uranus and Gaia that he was destined to be overthrown by his own sons. Even though he fathered children, Demeter, Hestia, Hera, Hades, and Poseidon with his sister, Rhea, he ate them as soon as they were born to prevent the prophecy from ever happening. Zeus was the sixth child born, of which Rhea hit him in a cave on Mount Ida in Crete.
Yeah,
people probably know this. I didn't when I was looking this up. So she gave Cronus a stone wrapped in clothes, so he swallowed it thinking it was his son, Zeus. This being known as the Omphalos stone. Cronus is Saturn, and Saturn is god of ancient Roman religion. God of time. After Rome conquered Greece, he was conflated with Cronus, demonizing and changing the old gods again. Cronus was then known as the god of time. Saturn was celebrated yearly in December at the festival of Saturnalia, a time of feasting, role reversals, where men dressed as women and women as men, gift-giving, revelry, and free speech, where you could criticize the king and get away with it. So,
And the owners would serve their slaves.
Food, yes. So I found this interesting stuff. I got one more paragraph about the Temple of Saturn. Oh, there's Cronus eating his baby, just the picture. So this is why people think the Democrats in them are pedophiles and they eat babies occultically, because Epstein had a temple on his island, and that temple was a Jerusalem temple where they would sacrifice in ancient times babies. From what I understand, it was a sacrificial temple of some sort.
Yeah.
So the whole worship would be the worship of the cube, and they're all into this ancient cult that represents Cronus or Saturn, the hexagon on top, which is a cube, and the cube of Mecca and the people that rule the world. So part of that cult would be to sacrifice and eat babies. But Epstein had the temple on his island, so it's like, why the fuck would he have a temple if they're not doing this cultic shit? So you kind of got to bring up the cultic shit, because the motherfucker had a goddamn temple built. Why? Yeah. You know?
I mean, I haven't seen pictures of the... I mean, I think I've seen pictures of the outside of the building. I didn't see pictures of, like, a sacrificial...
There's a famous temple. Maybe I'm wrong, and I fell for a Photoshop that I never found out was false, but on his pedo island, Epstein Island, there's a temple, right?
Let's see. Yeah, they're just talking a lot about child abuse. Oh, yeah, apparently it had a bunch of stuff like Greek mythology all over it.
Yeah, so confirmed. Okay, let me move on to...
Hades, happy eagles.
Let me move on to this so I can get to the Katy Perry stuff before you got to stop. But good that we confirmed I wasn't bullshitting.
Yeah, you
He's
you
got
were.
A temple in there. So the Temple of Saturn was housed in the Roman Forum. Look at that motherfucker. A plaza. Roman Forum was a plaza surrounded by ruins of important government buildings at the center of Rome. You thought it ended with Saturn. Nah, man, they had a temple in Rome in the plaza. For centuries, this was the center of the Roman Triumph, a celebration honoring the leader of Rome that led the recent military to victory in the service of the state. On the day of his triumph, the general would wear a crown embroidered with laurel and the all purple and gold embroidered toga that identified him as divine and kingly, and was known to paint his face red. Red like the bull, the occultic bull. So dead gladiators were given in sacrifice at the temple, implying that the god Saturn demanded human sacrifice. These gladiatorial events spanning 10 days during the celebration of Saturnalia were sponsored by the treasury of the Temple of Saturn. It was a political building that held all their documents, bro, and they sponsored this shit. So, and this was in the Roman Forum, their political courtyard where the town met and had all the shit. Like the Pentagon of Rome or something.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was like people don't have festivals at the Pentagon. But anyway, so
it was an important part of the functioning society.
Yeah. So a title called Caestores Parricidi was appointed by the king to investigate murders, but in the Roman Republic, Caestores were elected officials who supervised the treasury and handled audits. The Roman Forum also held elections, public speeches, criminal trials, gladiator matches, all that. Saturnalia was a Roman festival. Why is it here again? It was celebrated. They would sacrifice gladiators. And you said that about the Golden Age. Saturnalia was... Yeah, that's what I was trying to remember earlier. The Golden Age, where everyone was immortal and enjoyed the bounty of the earth without work, living in a state of innocence. So that's what Saturn represented.
Yeah, laws were not needed because of that.
Yeah,
there's no immorality.
So there's just a picture of the temple, man. Look how beautiful that is, dude.
That is beautiful.
Okay, so we got like 12 minutes left. Let's look at these Katy Perry pictures and break down some symbology, bro.
Yeah, so this I found interesting.
I got 22 pictures to go through, so just to let you know, you can share yours too. You want me to go first?
No, go ahead, man.
Okay, you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Memphis, Egypt, a crazy long time ago. So I just went through the music video and took stuff. So she's wearing a white rabbit head right here. I don't necessarily have any incriminating evidence, but I do want to point out how shockingly specific they get with their symbology in these pop culture music videos. Because, I mean, these producers know a lot more than I feel like they should if they're just making fun music videos.
No, this one definitely has a lot of symbology in it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, who are these motherfuckers that are like, hey, let's, you know, I got a passion for Greek mythology. And Katie's like, oh, me too, Aphrodite in the festival. And they start nerding out. Like, nobody's, like, what's up with this? So next. Yeah,
so first of all, like, even if you even skip in a couple scenes, like, if you go back, like, the way the video starts, she's on a boat, and it's actually in a Greek-style boat that was, like, depicted, you know, of what, similar to what was in Dante's Inferno, like, that was on the river Styx, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Where Charon, the ferryman, pushes people across the river into the underworld.
Yes. Right? Yeah, all of that.
Yeah, and so there's like Greek infused into the lyrics on top of that. The Egyptians also had a ferryman named Kerti, who was a ram-headed god of underworld who ferried the dead on their last journey into the afterlife. He was said to rule the afterlife with Osiris. Anyone who bathed in the river was said to become indestructible, which carried an eerie, undead sort of vibe. So there's some symbolism between the river Styx and the river Nile from those Greek stories. I even looked up, like, I kind of went on, I looked that up as well. And like there is, if you look into the etymology of the river Styx from the Greek myths, it's pretty obvious it refers to the river Nile. So she's on this Greek style boat on the river Nile, reminiscent of the river Styx, acting as a deity who's transporting souls from into the underworld, basically, if you kind of view it from that perspective, just from the start of the video. And she then it gets weirder from there.
She can transport my soul into her underworld anytime. It's okay. I was doing a podcast. I didn't mean it, babe. It was just a podcast.
Yeah, it's for entertainment purposes.
So this next picture has the Sphinx in it. I don't know what the Sphinx means specifically, but I don't remember what I saw in this picture. But there are more rabbit heads right here on the corner.
I mean, there's even more before that.
Well, I didn't go too far in it. Do you want to share the pictures you have?
No, there's like a dude that has a website that broke it like all down pretty well, and like I like cross referenced it, and it's pretty accurate.
Oh, I didn't find his website. I just grabbed some snapshots, and we can go through.
Yeah, no, but it does the snapshots too of the video.
Oh shit!
I mean, your snapshots are lining up with like his notes and everything.
What about that eye? Look at the eye of Osiris on her hair.
The eye of Osiris.
And she's doing the double horn. Pictures, everybody. Subscribe to the Patreon as little as $1. And you'll get the audio without ads.
So, yeah, her hair has the eye of Horus spray painted on
it. Yeah.
Horus was, I think, Osiris's son.
She's doing the double horns.
So she's doing the devil horns.
Now, they're not doing purple, but they are doing blue. Now there is purple there. That's a light purple.
Her blue men in the boat had cages on their head. I don't know if you noticed that.
What was the cages on her head?
Well, I mean, you know, like controlling one's enlightenment.
Right, look, I have the picture of the boat right here.
Yeah,
and look at the serpents. Look at the serpents at the top.
Yeah, but the cages on their head, controlling one's enlightenment.
Oh, is that what that is? Controlling one's enlightenment. Wow. Look, this is the symbology from Astarte. Let me go back to my notes. I have it right here because they have like a. Looks like a Mount Rushmore of stone figures holding her. They're all stone. So Astarte's symbol include the lion, the horse, the sphinx, the dove, and a star within a circle. Right here we have a cat, a feline. We have a big aggressive bird, not really a dove. We got
we have the lion.
We have the eagle. We have Anubis, the dog. We have the serpent. Yeah. And look, the phallus-shaped baked bread.
In a pyramid.
In a pyramid. In her music video. Like, they knew about this.
And the lyrics are creepy, too. Like, I knew you were going to come to me, and here you are, but you better choose carefully, because I am capable of anything and everything. And then it gets into like, she says, make me your Aphrodite, make me your one and only, but don't make me your enemy. But she does the three, you know, the kind of like a chant there.
Yeah. Don't make me your enemy. Don't, like Dionysus, don't oppose my cult. She wraps you in. Yeah. She wraps you in with her music and her dance and her seduction, and then don't make her your enemy. Just like,
yeah, and so like the, you know, I'm just kind of quoting the page. So to summarize the first verse, she said, "I knew you'd show up, and that you have a choice. Now that you're here, I'm asking you to worship me, but mostly don't make me an enemy." So we have a deity-like character couched in the context of the journey into hell saying, worship me and only me and don't hate. The me and only me is the aspect that's crucial because historically and biblically speaking, gods were always trying to acquire the undivided attention of their people. Undivided attention is power, and Perry's character in this video is alleging herself a god and seeking just that. So And then she's displaying that in, you know, depicting that in the video.
Hmm.
And that's... then she says, "Do you want to play with magic? You should know what you're falling for.
Yeah.
You dare this because I'm coming at you like a dark horse." And then there's references to Revelations in there with the dark horse. That being, I think, the third. Let's see, he notates it in here.
Well, let me just say, if she came around me talking like that, my thistress would definitely be dripping with honey. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. And then she shoots that fucking dude with, like, a beam out of her hand. He disintegrates, and then, like, she puts... like, he turns into jewels, and then she puts the jewels in her mouth.
Hey, look at this real quick.
Part was weird.
Look at this picture real quick. That bird right there.
Uh-huh.
That's a symbol right there. I think it's connected with Göbekli Tepe, but it's like, why is that right there? I don't think it's anything to do with the pyramids.
Just a ton of symbolism in here. I feel like we're not going to be able to finish breaking down the video.
No, that's fine, but let me keep going through my pictures real quick.
Okay, well, I wanted to do a thorough breakdown. Like, maybe we could top it off next episode to do like a part two.
You think we could cover in more than an hour on that?
No, but we'll just continue with other things after this.
Okay.
I mean, we don't have to.
No, I think that would be good because I didn't know some guy had a really good breakdown on it.
Yeah, I'll send you the site too. I mean, he does a good, I mean, it's all, objective. It's not like he's reading into stuff too hard. He's just literally looking at the linguistic interpretation and then the symbols.
Okay. And, you
know, breaking it down from that perspective. It's not real conspiracy, you know, it's not too far off the deep end conspiracy feeling, you know what I'm saying? And so it does a good job, like, really getting into the symbology behind all of it.
Okay, let's do that.
And lyrically as well. But yeah, I have a pregnant wife, so I have to.
Oh, she's pregnant again?
Yes, sir.
Oh, right. I'm on, man.
Expecting in June.
Wow, awesome.
12, about to be 13 weeks.
Whoa, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
When did you find out?
I don't know, I guess about a month ago.
Okay. Right on, man. That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
So, in June, right?
We're excited. Yeah, June 20th. So we are excited.
Wow. Badass.
Yeah, that's why I have a strict cutoff tonight, because she's beckoning, so.
All right, man.
But we'll pick up on the Katy Perry video next week. I'll send you this website because it does a good breakdown.
Yeah, I just had some pictures to speculate about. I didn't know there was that. So that's good.
Yeah, it's a good reference, and then we can cross reference stuff from this, because that's what I was doing, looking into like the river Styx and stuff like that, and the etymology from that things. So,
cool. Well, let's do that one next week, and we could probably do like a 45 minutes, just like a short one next week, and do another one.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
and dive some other stuff if you want to as well.
Yes, 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 yes. Cool, man. Awesome. That's all awesome. Right. Having a baby again. Yeah,
I'm excited.
Yeah,
I am
cool.
excited, man. It's gonna help
me out.
So
sweet. Happy for you, man. That's awesome.
All right, everybody. Well, I'll catch you next week on Illuminati Squatty Potty. And always check out our other media. Check out GoGotham.tv. Check out
Kettlebell Killer.
Kettlebell Killer. Check out all of Dylan's music.
Yes. Yes, I just did a single. My friend made a beat. He made it on, long story short, on GarageBand on his phone. And I was like, whoa, dude. And he used his dad's good vocal mic. And I was like, whoa, dude. So We just put that one up. It's fun. And then I'm gonna drop another one just by myself, produced by myself in a computer in a studio, not on a phone. So it's gonna really, really, really bang. I mean, my friend's beat's pretty good. I'm not trashing it, but if you're listening, it'd be like, ah.
Yeah, it's not like the sounds most like well produced thing in the world.
It's still pretty solid, though. I was impressed when he made.
I mean, GarageBand has some solid default tones.
It's in depth. Man. You start messing around, you can control transients and do all kind of stuff. He made a beat. He spent time making a beat. That's for sure. All right, man. So everybody, check that out. Cool deal. It's called Love Craze, Kettlebell Killer, Golgothan, Alfred and the Detonators. Give Tiffany a hug for me. I love y'all.
All right. Will do, man.
All right. Later, man.
All right. Later, everybody.
Bye, everybody.